Well, it's that time of year where the shops are busy, the streets are busy. Our family were in Belfast yesterday, and it was just so crowded, it was giving each of us a headache. People were out shopping, buying presents for their loved ones, trying to buy the appropriate gift. And I'm thinking this evening, just in our last few minutes together, about inappropriate gifts or appropriate gifts. What is an appropriate gift? I wonder, as you're thinking about giving a gift to someone, or if you've received a gift even last Christmas, did you receive something totally inappropriate that just didn't suit you at all? Boxing Day is always a very busy day, not only for the sales, but the amount of people who are returning gifts that were given to them the previous day. I heard, just reading recently, about someone who gave his wife a toilet seat for Christmas. That was an inappropriate gift. Anyone had an inappropriate gift, maybe a CD or something that they didn't like, or a scarf, and it was just completely the wrong color? Anyone willing to suggest something that was really inappropriate? No, you're all too bashful, no. So you all receive appropriate gifts then every year. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, this evening I want us to think about that very well-known passage of the Magi or the wise men. We often think there were three of them because they had three gifts, but we don't actually know how many there were. Because they were men, it was probably actually that there were maybe more of them because they only came up with three gifts, but it's hard to know. But I want us to think just for a few minutes about these three gifts, and I want you to decide if they were appropriate or not for a baby. What was the first gift? Yep, gold. Whenever you're taking a child, a present to a baby, who has ever taken anything gold? Nobody. Okay, interesting. If someone were to bring you gold for Christmas, would you be glad? Yeah. Yeah, you would. So the wise men decided that they were going to bring gold. Put up the next slide there, Cain. And the next one, I think. Yeah, that's the one. That's what I'm looking for. No idea how much that is worth, but gold is always a good gift. So if anyone wants to give me anything gold, great. I will gladly receive it. I was reading a little bit about gold and why it is so precious, why it still holds its worth. We're told that it's extremely dense and heavy. It's actually quite easy to carry. You can, I mean, that gold there, you could live off that probably for the rest of your life in terms of what it represents in terms of money. Gold is inert. It doesn't corrode, so it doesn't lose its value like other metals. The supply of gold is stable across the centuries. It's very unlikely that we will find any new gold mines. And it has only one grade and one single pricing. It's not like diamonds, it's not like oil, which tends to fluctuate in its pricing. It's standard all over the world, the gold standard. It's recognized all over the world because of its trustworthiness, its flexibility. In short, gold is good. Gold is a good present to give anyone, even a baby. But of course, this was a very, very special baby. This was a unique baby because this baby had come from heaven. And we know as we read on into the New Testament, as we read on into the Bible, we know that this baby is actually a king. And when the Magi came all the way from the east, they knew they were looking for a king. And so they thought, well, we're coming to a king. We better get something worthy to give to a king. And so they thought, gold. Because kings like gold. Kings love gold. And so they brought this child the first gift, which was the gift of gold. So because it was so precious, because it was worth so much, because Jesus was a king, even though he was just a baby, do you think this was an appropriate present? Just nod if you think it was. Yeah, it was. It was an appropriate present. Gold. The next two presents had something in common in that they were both smelly. Okay? And Christmas is that time of year when you love to get smelly gifts. It's just that time of year when you like to buy perfumes and aftershaves and fragrances and candles and so on. And before we think about the next two gifts, I have a little test here. Yesterday afternoon, I told you we were in Belfast, and I was in that well-known establishment called the Yankee Candle Company. Has anyone heard of that? Yeah. Has anyone got a Yankee candle in their house? Put your hand up if you have. Go on, admit it. Admit it, you have. Well, what I've got here are four, I've got four Yankee candles, very small. You can hardly see them because they're very expensive. So I only bought five small ones. And what I want you to do, what I want is, I would like two or three volunteers from Dunclug and two or three volunteers from St. Bridget's with a teacher to come up here, because what I want you to do is to smell these candles and to identify what the smell is, what the flavor is, or what it meant to be, okay? So you have to have a good sense of smell. So if you've got a cold, you're out. You can't come up, okay? So I want a teacher. Jess, you're a teacher. Do you want to pick two or three? Pick three. Pick three, and then they can help you. So I'm going to give you a sheet and a pen, and they're numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can pick them up and smell them in a minute, not just yet, and write down what you think the smells are, okay? And then we'll see who's right. And then over this side, have we a teacher? Yes? Come on ahead, and can you pick three? Three good smellers. You can read that whatever way you want. Okay, come over this way, over this way, over this way. Okay, and you can be the scribe. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Jill's going to play some music and want you to smell the candles and then write down what you think the smells are. So just pick them up and turn. Right, away you go. Okay, five candles. And this was the first one, which should have been quite easy. Oh, that's good. And very Christmassy. What do you think that one is?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. What do you think that one was?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, yes, that is cinnamon. Very good. So give yourself a tick. I should say at this point there's no prize. Just in case you're kind of building out your hopes. Nicky will give you a sweet speech afterwards. So, okay, number two. What do you think that was?
Lime.
Apple.
Apple.
Oh, right. Hold on a check. You're both wrong. It's lemon, but you're closest. I'll give you half a mark. Give you half a mark. That's actually lemon. Number three?
Peach.
Peach. Peach. Yes, it is peach. That's definitely peach. Okay. Number four? What do you think it was?
Raspberry.
Raspberry. Raspberry. Correct. You've got very good noses. That's raspberry. And the real tester was number five. What do you think that was?
Cotton.
Good guess, but not right.
The
you thought it was cotton as well?
Change it.
Change it. Yes, there's an awful lot of cotton. I know why you said that. Yankee candles coming down with cotton smelling things, whatever cotton smells like. That's actually jasmine, okay? Jasmine, you wouldn't have got that, I don't think. All right, give them a round of applause. You can go back down again. Thank you. Thanks so much. Okay, so the next two gifts that were given by the wise men were smelly gifts. And the first one was, of course, frankincense or incense. And frankincense is taken from a tree. I don't know if you got a picture of the tree there, Cain. It's from the Boswellia tree, and that's what it looks like. And what they do is they cut into the bark, and then the sap comes out of the bark, and it's collected, and then they dry it out so that it becomes sort of a dry sort of resin thing, and then they can sometimes add water to it or other oils, and it is this beautiful, beautiful incense, frankincense, this oil. And it's used for many things. It's used as a perfume sometimes. People will use it as a perfume. Sometimes people will use it if they're not feeling well, and they'll kind of rub it around their head and so on. Frankincense has so many different uses. It's a remedy for ulcers, hypertension, nausea, fever, indigestion, chest cough, and post-childbirth recovery. So there you go. All right. It's used for treating anxiety, tension, and for stress-related conditions, so I must get myself some very soon. But of course, it was also used in Bible times in worship. It was used as an incense that was burnt, and it went up as a sweet smelling sacrifice or incense to God. In the book of Exodus, also we find that God instructed Moses to place a jar of incense, the work of a perfumer, in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So frankincense or incense, it spoke of all these good properties, but supremely it spoke of worship. And whenever these wise men were thinking of Jesus, of this little baby, they decided that they would bring incense that spoke of worship, because he is Lord, he is King of Kings. Was that an appropriate gift? Yeah, I think so. I think it was. And the third and final gift was also a smelly gift, and it was myrrh. Again, similar, it was brought from a tree, and it could be used with oil and water, but it could also be used in its solid form. But it was most often used to pack around bodies when they had died, or to embalm dead bodies. And whenever you think about that, you think, my goodness, why did the wise men or the magi bring myrrh, something that is very strongly associated with death? And you might immediately think, inappropriate, inappropriate. Why bring that to a baby? Why bring that to someone who has just come into the world? And yet, as you think about it, these magi, these wise men, were God-directed, they were God-inspired, because this little child was born to die. We're born to live, but he was born to die. And every time we think about Christmas, we have to think about Easter. The cradle and the cross are very closely linked. So in my last picture, we have got the two side by side. We've got the Mary and Joseph traveling, but then we've also got the cross on the horizon, as it were. And there's a little verse in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, which says, Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus was born to die, and his whole life was an offering, a fragrant offering to God, and his death was a sacrifice. It was a fragrant offering to God. And it was especially fragrant because he died for us. In my place, condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. So when we celebrate Christmas, we immediately have to think about Easter, because the child in the manger was going to be the man on the cross. The two are linked together. So these magi were God-inspired, God-influenced, God-directed. They brought gold for a king, frankincense that spoke of worship, and myrrh that spoke of death that was coming. And he did all that for us, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who died in your place and in my place, took our sin upon himself. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for these appropriate gifts that were brought on that first Christmas, as Jesus stepped across the stars and came into this dark world, we thank you that he came as our Savior. And so tonight we worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we were singing earlier, what can we give him? We can give him our heart. May we do that even tonight, Lord. Whatever age we are, thank you that we can give you our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.